You see, when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, it's not just that you begin a new life, it is also that you become part of a new community. And that is very different from other religions. You see, you could adopt Buddhism or Hinduism in private. They are paths which, if you choose, you can walk entirely alone. But Christ calls his followers to walk with him together.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm Steve Hiller. And Colin, why is it important that followers of Christ walk together in community?
Well, we live in a highly individualistic culture. So, right. Of course, it's very easy to slide into, me and my faith and my personal walk with the Lord. That's important. But what's the Lord's purpose? It's to bring together a body that is the body of Christ. And when we see the vision of what happens in Book of Revelation, you've got the redeemed community of God's people. And the church on earth is central to the purpose of God. So we want to be cheerleaders for the church and encouragers of everyone who takes leadership in ministry in the church. So today is all about encouragement for every person who has some leadership responsibility, and for everybody else who's a believer, encouragement to get behind those who have leadership responsibility in the church. This is a tough day and age in which to lead.
Yeah.
You know, trust
you,
is
you
low.
You have a target on your back, don't
Criticism
you?
Is high. Yeah. And we want to get behind Christian leaders and be encouragers of the body of Christ.
And we're going to see how we do just that in today's message. So I hope you will open your Bible and join us in the book of 1 Peter. We're in chapter 5 as we begin a message entitled New Destiny. Here's Pastor Colin.
I met a man this week who spoke with the same accent as I do. And from our conversation early on, it was very clear that he was a Christian believer. It was a joy to speak with him. We chatted about life in Scotland and about life in America. And then I asked him where he worshipped. Oh, he said, I've lost interest in organized religion. And then he expressed various disappointments that he's experienced in the church. The heart of what he was trying to say was really very simple. The church isn't what it ought to be. So he had opted to become a kind of lone believer with a personal faith in Jesus Christ. And I think that there are many, and perhaps even a growing number of people like him. Now today, as we come to the last in our series on the Christian life, I want to see what Peter has to say about the church and about her destiny. And this 10th key will open up a dimension of the Christian life that in our highly individualistic society, many people long for, but at the same time struggle to grasp. You see, when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, it's not just that you begin a new life, it is also that you become part of a new community. And that is very different from other religions. You see, you could adopt Buddhism or Hinduism in private. They are paths which, if you choose, you can walk entirely alone. But Christ calls his followers to walk with him together. Each of us must come to the cross individually in repentance and faith. But when we come to Jesus in repentance and faith, there we meet each other. And it is at the cross that God creates new community of people who are born again and called to a different life. Now, you'll notice if you open your Bibles at 1 Peter chapter 5, that right at the beginning of the chapter, this is what Peter is speaking about. He speaks about elders, and he speaks about them being shepherds of a flock. You see, there are many sheep belonging to Christ, but he brings them together into a flock, and he puts them under the care of shepherds. And this reminds us that this whole letter of Peter that we've been studying is written to little communities of Christian believers. Chapter 1 and verse 1, Peter talks about God's elect who are strangers in the world, and they're scattered in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now, that is simply what a church is. A church is a community of believers in one locality who have been drawn together by the common experience of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And God's purpose is not just that you and I should belong to Jesus, but that we should be part of an identifiable flock of God's sheep under the care of shepherds or trusted spiritual leaders. Notice how Peter speaks of the flock that is under your care. So I want us to think from 1 Peter in chapter 5 today about the flock, about the shepherds, about the dangers that the flock faces, and then finally about the destiny that belongs to all of God's people together. So I hope you have your Bibles open at 1 Peter in chapter 5. First of all, the flock. Now, one of the exciting things that I think is happening today is that there is a new interest in community. After years of hyper-individualism and consumerism, we've got a new generation arising, often folks who have not experienced deep or stable relationships in the context of family, and they are longing to find and searching for authentic community. This is a good thing. I want to offer three observations that I hope will be helpful. The first is that an authentic community, as we seek to express that together, will reflect all the struggles of the individuals who make that community up. Now, it's very important to grasp this. You see, I think this was one of the difficulties for my friend who spoke with the same accent. He looked at the church and he didn't like what he saw. The truth is, in looking in the mirror, many of us don't like what we see either. And the church is simply an expression on a larger scale of what you will find within any one Christian individual. So I need to ask these questions. Do I ever struggle with pride or insensitivity? Do I ever struggle with greed or at least any number of these things? If any of these things are struggles in me, I should not be surprised if they are struggles also for others who are in Christ around me. So the plea that I'm making is simply this. In our search for authentic community, let's be realistic. Because it is a great mistake to set one standard for ourselves and say, well, this is me and these are all my struggles, but to expect the church to be something altogether different when the church is simply a gathering of folks like us who are in the process of trying to work out what it is to be an authentic follower of Jesus Christ and are at various stages in the development on that path. The church is not a club for nearly perfect saints. The church is a hospital for recovering sinners. And what we should expect in the community of God's people who are experiencing God's grace is to see folks at every stage of the recovery process. That's authentic. We should look for it, not be surprised when we see it. Secondly, an authentic community will include difficult people. Now, I'll give you an example that's not from this church. It's always good to say it's not from this church because everyone relaxes when you say that. But in the church that I pastored before coming here, we had a lady who had been in the church all her days since childhood, and throughout the course of her life, she developed increasingly severe problems of many sorts. Perhaps the most appropriate way of describing her would be to say that she was very eccentric. She used to write anonymous letters. I had a large file of anonymous letters, all from her. I knew her writing the minute I saw her envelope. Often these anonymous letters were suggesting that she should be invited to sing a solo in church on Sunday morning. She even would list the appropriate songs that this anonymous person could be invited to sing. When she spoke with someone who was sick, she on several occasions would say, "I'm so glad this is happening to you and not to me." Oh, dear. We found on more than one occasion and had to deal with it, of course, that she had gone up to a new person in the church and befriended them with conversation and then invited them for lunch. And having invited them for lunch in a rather nice restaurant, when the check came to the table, she would say, "Oh, no, I've forgotten my handbag." And I don't know, thinking back, if there was ever a year when the elders did not have to deal with some problem that arose because of this lady. And as she got older, it became worse. Now, here's the other side. She did not have a single living relative. If it was not for the kindness and faithfulness of a few people in the church, she would have been completely isolated in an institution without a single friend in the world. A few believers with incredible humility, faithfulness, and loyalty did the most menial work in her otherwise filthy home and managed to sustain a life for her. No social institution in the town would have put up with her, or did. She'd been thrown out them all. Only the church had the grace and the patience to go on loving and forgiving and confronting and persevering. Now, you see, it's easy to talk about caring for others outside the church. But the first test of authenticity is whether we care about the difficult people inside the church. And right there in the story that we've just told together, you have two snapshots of the church. You have the difficult person who is embraced by the love of the community. And you have the love of that community that is in hidden ways doing extraordinary things. And perhaps if you'd come into the church and some person said some dreadful thing to you, you'd say, oh my goodness, you know, I went to church and you should hear what some person said to me. Well, remember the two sides here. Authentic community embraces difficult people. The world doesn't know anything about this. The world throws them out. I have a picture in my mind of a believer standing in heaven and saying, I love you, Lord. And Jesus looks at the believer and says, if you love me, why did you not care about my body? The body of which I am the head, the church. And the believer looks up into the face of Christ and says, Jesus, you are wonderful, but the body is sometimes very unattractive. And Christ says, if you knew anything about me, you would have learned to love what is sometimes unattractive. See, that's authentic, isn't it? Third, an authentic community is gathered by God, not chosen by us. Now, this is important because it's not difficult to choose a few friends who we get on well with because we're all like-minded and create a small group around a common interest. Nothing wrong with that. Good thing. But the authentic community of the Christian church involves more than that. Gathered, not chosen. You see, the first community that God places us in is called a family. And none of us chooses our family. In fact, we use this phrase, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. This is a pre-Thanksgiving message here that we're getting, you understand. Now, we don't choose our family. Our family, by definition, are the people God places next to us. Now, they may be wonderful. They may be terrible, but they are the people God has placed next to you. And the way that you interact with the people God has placed next to you will have a primary shaping influence on the course of your life. Now, I say again, they may be wonderful or they may be terrible, but irrespective of which of these two polarities you experience, the way you react and respond and interact with those God has placed next to you will have a determinative influence in the shaping of your life. For example, if you just run away from them, that will probably become a pattern in your life. If you can find a way to forgive them, it will probably become a pattern in your life. If you hate them, it'll probably become a pattern in your life. If you care for them, it'll probably become a pattern in your life. Now, it's the same with the church, you see, because the church is the family of God. It is the community of people not chosen by us, but gathered by God in his mercy and grace through Jesus Christ. And the way that I relate to the church family where God has set me down will play a large part in shaping the person that I become. So these relationships within the flock of God are crucial to the shaping and the formation of spiritual character, the flock. It's not just that God wants you to be a follower of Jesus. It's that God wants you to be part of a community in which relationships in that discipleship are worked out together.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called New Destiny, part of our series, 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. And Pastor Colin has not only preached this series, but it's also been turned into a book. And this book is our thank you gift to you as you give a financial gift and support the ministry this month. You can find out more or give online at openthebible.org or call us at 877-OPEN-365. Let's get back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Now notice secondly the shepherds, because any community must have leaders. And Peter begins chapter 5 with some special words of encouragement for Christian leaders. He speaks about elders in the church, and from earliest days the church had spiritual leaders who were elected or appointed and given responsibility to shepherd God's flock. Now Peter has already told us that Jesus is the shepherd and the overseer of our souls. And again in chapter 4, 5 and verse 4, he talks about Jesus as the chief shepherd. But he also speaks about these elders as being called by Christ to care for the flock. They are overseers. Do you see that word there? They are to oversee the flock. The word elder is very similar to the word pastor, which of course means shepherd. Now, shepherd is a beautiful picture. We don't have many shepherds in the northwest suburbs at the moment, but we all know what a shepherd does. A shepherd guards the sheep, leads the sheep, and rescues and searches for the sheep. And one of the great blessings of the church is that we come into relationship with others who care about our spiritual well-being. This is the place where you are fed and you are nourished, and it is the responsibility of spiritual leaders to make sure that it is so. The names given to spiritual leaders may vary in different churches or groupings, but the principles are the same, that the church is to recognize spiritually mature people who are to give oversight to the gathered flock of God. Now notice that having identified that truth, Peter now sets out three pitfalls that regularly stand in the way of leaders. And I refer to this not only because it's part of the Word of God and therefore is profitable for us all, but for those who are not leaders, it's important to know how to pray for leaders. How do you pray for a missionary? How do you pray for an elder? How do you pray for a pastor? What should you ask of God? Well, let's look at what Peter identifies as the primary battles of Christian leaders. The first he identifies, loss of vision. Be shepherds of God's flock, verse 2, that is under your care, serving as overseers not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be. So the first danger that he identifies is that a Christian leader sets out with great passion to serve Christ, but that 5, 10, or 20 years later, he or she has got into a dull routine in which ministry is just another job to do, another meeting to go to, another sermon to write, another counseling session. That kind of an attitude kills ministry. Peter says, make sure your heart is in what you are doing. Don't get lazy. Don't lose your vision. Don't let this become some kind of a dull routine that you're doing it just because you've got boxed into doing this particular thing. Do it because you're willing. So I want to encourage you to pray for missionaries and for pastors and for elders and for national Christian leaders. Motivation. That we will not lose vision, but we'll have that drive and that passion to lead in serving Christ. Secondly, notice that he identifies the desire for gain as a pitfall for leaders. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Bible's such an honest book, isn't it? Peter says a second danger for Christian leaders, and he's obviously thinking here about those who are in full-time ministry, it revolves around money. Before I became a pastor, a very close friend to me said, "Colin, you will need to decide before you go into ministry how important money is for you. And if you don't do that now, it will haunt you all your life." I'm so glad he said that. Actually, that's an issue we all have to make early in life. How important is money to you? See, anyone who's going to serve as a missionary, anyone who's going to give themselves fully to the service of Jesus Christ needs to deal with this issue. We have to grapple with it and we have to resolve it. It's true of all of us. Christ wants us to be eager to serve. And you see, if you go into ministry with the question, "What can I get out of it?" it will kill your ministry. You have to serve Christ with a spirit that says, "What can I give to it?" And that's true not just for a pastor or for a missionary. It's true if you're a Sunday school teacher. If you go into any kind of ministry as a volunteer, you say, "What can I get out of it?" It'll kill your ministry. You've got to go in saying, "What can I give to it?" And this is what we must pray then for our leaders and for all of our service across the board. Not just that there'll be that motivation, but that we'll be contented. Pray that missionaries will be contented. That pastors will be contented. That elders will be contented. Third pitfall, abuse of power. Notice what he says, verse 3, "Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." Now, lording it over the flock simply means telling everybody else what to do and not doing it yourself. And that's, of course, hypocrisy. The greatest challenge for every missionary, pastor, elder, board member, leader, Sunday school teacher is to practice what we preach. So pray that those who are called to leadership will be authentic.
Well, unfortunately, we do have to pause right there as we've been looking at the prayers and the pitfalls of those in authority, the shepherds of community, and taking a look at just the significance and the importance of community. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called New Destiny, part of our series of the study of the book of 1 Peter called 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. And if you miss a broadcast in the series, come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry, and as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you Pastor Colin's book, 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. And Colin, the book is based on 1 Peter, but who's the book written for?
Well, if you have recently come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is certainly a book that was written for you. Or perhaps you feel that you need to get grounded in the basics of the Christian life. What does it mean to be a Christian and to live the Christian life? Well, you know, there's a whole book in the New Testament that was written really to answer that question. And it's the letter of 1 Peter. It's just 5 chapters, so it's quite short. But what's significant about it is that while some of the other letters in the New Testament were written to particular churches, like the letter to Romans or Corinthians or Ephesians and so forth, this letter was just written to believers in general who were scattered in lots of different places. And by definition, because this is the early church, they were all new believers. And what Peter is doing in this letter is helping them to get established in the faith. It's a wonderful letter. And this book just takes a person through the basics of the Christian faith from the first letter of Peter. And I hope that it's going to be really helpful to many, Steve.
Well, the book is called 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. And it is our thank you gift to you as you give a financial gift of any amount this month. You can find out more or give online by coming to our website, openthebible.org, or call us at 877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, or again, openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. The church is more than a place to come and worship on Sunday. It's like an African safari. Find out why next time on Open the Bible.